Welcome to the newest Fairest Love podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here, we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Hi, Katie.
Hey. Here we are. Another episode.
Another week.
I'm excited.
So do we start with our homework or our joys? Our joys. Let's start joys. With joys.
Let's do joys.
What's a joy from the week?
So I've been traveling a lot, and in between travels, my hot water heater died. Oop. And Missouri is not usually actually that cold. The winters are usually pretty good, but for whatever reason, we got hit with a ton of snow, and then the high has been 19, 30 a couple days, so we still have all this ice, all this snow, and I had no hot water for 2 weeks, and I have hot water now, so it's funny how I survived. It's like I didn't have heat, but simple joy is being able to run a sink full of hot water to do your dishes and not boiling a kettle on the stove, pouring it in, boiling another, and that kind of thing. So that's my simple joy.
That's not simple. That's big.
It is big.
That's amazing. My joy from the week. Oh gosh, I lost it. I had it and then I lost it.
You've been traveling a lot. Now you're
home. That's right. That's right. Thank you. Good reminder. We were talking about it before we even started. Right. I've been traveling a lot and now I'm home. And with the home comes craziness of meeting up with all these people that I haven't seen in so long. But a couple of my dearest friends, I think I mentioned on another episode, had babies recently. And so I finally were able to meet them. I'm obsessed and they're wonderful. So that's been a really good joy to see them, to see my friends, obviously, in their postpartum journey. And to meet their little one.
Mm-hmm.
It's been beautiful.
Oh, I love the little ones. They're just so cute when they're so tiny.
Yeah. So a little bit of our homework from last week's episode on Valentine's was to kind of consider ways in which you're going to be outpouring of your love and receiving love, regardless of your relationship status.
So what I try to do that week and this week is just send a few more pointed kind of meaningful texts to some of my friends, some in my family, in my spiritual family and that kind of thing as well, just to, just to give that little bid for connection, that little nod that I appreciate them, or just that I'm thinking of them throughout the day. It wasn't hey, I really like when you do blah, 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 but it was more oh, you mentioned this thing, how did it go? Yeah. Or what, those kinds of things. So just little things that I would want someone to do for me to remember, oh, you had this thing going on. How did that go? Or how was that meeting?
I decided to kind of do two things kind of combined into one, but I did a little adoration date with our Lord. But in that time, spent the time kind of journaling and reflecting on kind of similar to you. So more of thought than action right now, but thinking of the people in my life that I could love better, love different, and kind of asking our Lord to show me who needs what, what do they need in this time? And simultaneously reflecting on the ways in which I feel in the past year, I have been loved and supported by both the people around me and by our Lord. So, I mean, it was a long journaling and heavy, but ultimately I think really, really beautiful and fruitful.
Those are the best. I love that. I love at the beginning of February, I went on retreat and it's 5 days of silence. And I just love, this is so the introvert in me, but I just love that I get 5 days of silence that I just get to journal and be with our Lord and just sit in his presence and that kind of a thing. People are always how do you handle it? And I'm I could go longer than 5 days. So yeah, it can be so great.
It can be good. So today's episode, Katie, you want to kick it off?
Yeah. Okay. So right as 2024 was ending, I read this book called The Rushing Woman's Syndrome. It's by Dr. Libby Weaver. And I read it because I felt the title talked about me. The subhead is The Impact of a Never-Ending To-Do List and How to Stay Healthy in Today's Busy World. And I was oh, this is me. I feel I am this rushing woman and I have this never-ending to-do list. So I read it and we've talked a lot about it.
Yeah.
So in the month we spent together.
yeah, Katie and I were road tripping for a lot of that month, and she was sharing all of her insights from this book and kind of her perspective that she felt like she was, you know, this rushing woman, which it was comical to me because I was like, you just now realized that you're rushing. Like, Katie, you're all over the place. Like, what are you talking about? And I'm also like a million miles an hour all over the place. And like, Katie's next level. So we then were like, okay, how do you kind of correct this? And I was sharing some of my thoughts, you know, therapeutically on that. And so we kind of did a little bit of a deep dive, and we found another book that helps kind of re-regulate one's nervous system. Cause that is, you know, yeah, when we're constantly rushing, we dysregulate our nervous system.
Yeah. That's the idea of the book, that ultimately what her point is that many women today have a just dysregulated nervous systems, because we have two, and they're kind of like out of whack. And I'm not a scientist, so I can't go into all the science of it, but like basically that's her thing. So we read another book called Heal Your Nervous System, which honestly I would actually recommend more if people are listening to this podcast and like, oh, the rushing woman syndrome, I think, was a really good primer. But if you already know you're that person, I would skip this book and I would just go right to the Heal Your Nervous System book, because I feel like it had many more practical, applicable life things in it and kind of walked you through it. Whereas Rushing Woman Syndrome, I feel like she just repeated herself almost every chapter. And the bottom line was like, stop drinking caffeine, stop drinking alcohol, slow down, which like, okay.
Which is a good precursor. So, but if, and maybe you don't have a messed up nervous system, you're just kind of like, really taking on a lot, which is why we wanted to have this conversation.
Right.
Because I felt as though everybody says they're busy, but I think that there's something unique about singleness that actually affords you the opportunity to be extremely busy and overbooked. And so I can speak from my perspective on being situationally single and say a lot of times, you know, when people know that, it's almost as if like you're not granted an excuse to say no. Like, you don't have a family, you don't have a significant other, you don't have this or that. So like, why wouldn't you say yes?
Yeah.
Like, you have the time, you have the means, so you have to be, you know, showing up in particular ways. And while I think that there's something so beautiful and unique to how available a single person is, that doesn't mean that we forfeit everything else in our life or forfeit our own peace and regulation to just be going, going, going.
Right. And I think too, I mean, for those who are vocationally single as well, like we still have family obligations, right? Like our family, our spiritual family, we still have actual familial obligations, but then too, we're like creating careers, moving forward, doing lots of things, but then also giving a lot of formation, right? Giving a lot of spiritual direction, giving formation, like running Bible studies, doing all of this kind of stuff. And so I think similarly, right, it can be really easy to be like, we're going, going, going all the time. And I think whether you are, right, like Monica was saying, whether your nervous systems are out of whack or you are just a woman in society today who is doing a ton of things, I think a lot that's in both of these books and like our discussion today is going to apply to you, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, this Dr. Libby Weaver in The Rushing Woman, she kind of defines Rushing Woman Syndrome as the biochemical effects of always being in a hurry and the health consequences that urgency elicits. It's not a medical diagnosis or anything like that. But then she goes through and she talks about it. And I was like, oh, like, well, as you listen to this, if this is you, if you resonate, like, this episode is going to be awesome for you. So she goes and she talks about how for these people, it doesn't seem to matter whether she has two things to do or 200. She's often in a pressing rush to do it all. Wound up like a spring, she runs herself ragged in a daily battle to keep up. There's always so much to do. She very rarely feels like she wins, is in control, or gets on top of things. In fact, her deep desire to control even the smaller details of life can leave her feeling out of control, even with herself. And then it goes on, overwhelmed at times, she feels like she can't cope, whether she admits it out loud or keeps it all inside, adding to her wound up knotted stomach. She's fortunate if her hormones are balanced, most are not, they have horrible periods, all of this kind of stuff, right? So it's fascinating. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is me, right? Like, I'm always running around. I'm always doing things. My to-do list is never ending. I'm always busy. And I I've stopped long ago saying that I'm busy. Like, most people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. And I've stopped saying that because part of it is a mental thing. Like, if I think I'm busy, then of course I'm busy, right? But if I'm like, no, I have time, like I can figure this out, I found a lot of peace in that. So I made that mental switch a couple of years ago. But still, like, I do have a lot on my plate all the time and I'm always putting more on it.
Yeah, I think. And it's kind of a state of mind is what totally. She's saying. It's kind of the biological effects of this, because there are some people who have a lot on their plate, but they're not rushing and they're not stressed and they're not, you know, because I think that there's a detachment there or a peace with it of, you know, I'll get it done when I can. I don't need to be overly controlling with like how it happens or when it happens. And maybe they know their limits a little bit better, or kind of know their body. So they know when to stop, when to rest, when to start, and so forth.
It's fascinating. I always wonder, like, you hear stories of like St. John Paul II and Mother Teresa, right? Who had a lot going on. I mean, obviously, like, John Paul II did so much, right? Like, wrote so many things, like, traveled a ton. And they always say, like, when he was feeling, like, really overwhelmed or had a lot on his plate, he just prayed, like, more hours in the day.
Yeah, actually.
I'm like, what?
This is reminding me. I think I was in a meditation recently where someone was talking about Mother Teresa, and that the Pope or someone had asked her to start her order, in another place. And she was like, we don't have the time, money, energy, or resources to do that. Like, we don't. And they were putting in insane hours. And so her action plan was adding an hour of adoration to her day.
Yeah.
To make that happen. So she was already in her prayer, but like, to make that happen, in which she had less time, she put more time towards our Lord. And I think, but in that is also time of rest. And time of prayer and letting him in, right? And so my guess is she wasn't like sitting down with our Lord in adoration, like running through like, you know, a detailed game plan.
No, I think she was definitely resting with our Lord and praying with him.
Right. And kind of letting him step into that space and make it work. Like, if you want this to work, Lord, make it work, because my human capacities are showing the limitations.
Right. Yeah. And so I think so. In this book and in the other one that we were reading, it's interesting because there are a few things that I think are super actionable items. And it's interesting, some of them I had already started to do. Like, I cut caffeine out of my life, out of my diet about a year and a half ago. One of the best decisions I ever made, for sure. I didn't realize how much it was impacting me and how much effect it had until I was off it. And then every now and then I'll have caffeine. Like, if I just don't sleep well or I'm having a day and like I feel it. And I am jittery and my heart is racing. And I'm like, wow, like I was living in this constant state for years and years and years. And I didn't even know it, you know? So that's one thing that I think it talks a lot about, and the importance of it. Also making sure that you're getting good sleep, right? Because a lot of rushing women sacrifice sleep for their to-do list.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, like I can get by on 6 hours.
Well, so a lot of people are going to sacrifice their self-care. So one of my recommendations would be, I think there's 3 levels of self-care. So the first is like our basic needs that have to happen.
Sure.
Food, water, sleep. Like what are, and so write this list out. Like, what are my basic needs? What are the things I need to be doing every day to be caring for myself? And then we've got level 2, which is like, these things should probably happen within the week, weekly, a couple of times. And those might be some things like exercise, being out in nature, seeing particular friends, maybe some of your spiritual or prayer practices are in this category. So think through that. And then our 3rd level is like maybe once a month, and this really helps just like boost me, right? So that's like maybe getting your nails done, or going out for a night to dance because you really love that, or something like that. And so what we find is actually what ends up happening is like we just start ditching all of these levels of self-care, and particularly the ones most related to ourself first. I just completely stopped caring for myself in pursuit of this to-do list or to these ends, and we run ourselves thin.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We should do an entire episode on self-care, what good self-care is, what bad self-care is, etc. But I think, yeah, for me, that for a long time was the first thing to go, was sleep. Because I'm like, well, like I could survive and I'll just drink a little bit more coffee and all of that kind of stuff. I suffer from horrible migraines all the time. So several years ago, I started prioritizing sleep, which made a huge difference. And yet I'm still like running all over the place. So, I mean, I can't imagine where I'd be now if I was still drinking coffee, still not getting sleep, right? Like not prioritizing those things, which I have been at least doing.
Yeah. So I think the other thing that they talk about is exercise. And not even for the reason why our what our listeners like think. Mm-hmm. And because this re-regulating one's nervous system or helping yourself slow down and not rush, like one, stepping away from your to-do list, your tasks and activities to care for yourself begins to re-regulate that system, mm-hmm. because you're choosing yourself, you're choosing to step away, you're choosing to slow down, right? So you're giving your mind and your body a break from the stressful task itself.
Right, from those constant shots of cortisol that's coming in.
Mm-hmm. And simultaneously, you're tuning in to your senses. So this is one of the things I love is that, you know, when we're in fight or flight, essentially, which is what we're talking about, that the Russian woman is stuck in fight or flight and in this threat mode, that when we start to tune into our senses and tune into our body, your senses and your body can only live in the present. Mm-hmm. Your mind can go to the past or to the future, sure. Right? And that's where we start to get stuck. And so the fight or flight takes us out of our body and into survival. And so exercise helps put us back into our body. It helps tune back into the senses. It helps work with, she recommends like equilibrium practices. So that's like skipping, mm-hmm. jumping rope. Like it forces your body to kind of come back to mm-hmm. itself.
Well, and it's interesting too, because and I'm sure this is probably true for a lot of people who feel this rushing woman, whether you have the syndrome or whatever or not, or you're just like hyped up on things. Like for me, like I have enjoyed working out. I've worked out for many, many years now at this point, but I have always been like, I need to go like ham at the gym. Like I need to be at the gym and I need to be going and I need to be like burning it. I need to be sweating a lot. And like, and I enjoy that. It's not that I'm like begrudging doing it, right? But like, I would rather hike 7 miles than 3. Mm-hmm. I would rather be at the gym and be on the bike like an hour, like sweating it out in the hot sauna than do a leisurely thing. But one of the points that they make actually in both of the books is better to start doing like slower practices and not going ham all the time at the gym. So better to go for just like leisurely walks around the block and doing that kind of a thing as your exercise, or doing some kind of stretching, maybe a bar or a Pilates, like those kinds of things that are just like slower movement, things that pay more attention to your breath than constantly doing HIIT.
Yeah.
Because HIIT again is doing exactly what your to-do list is doing. It's spiking that cortisol. It's moving you into this like fight or flight mode.
Which is probably why you enjoy it, because it's familiar.
Right.
Your body's exactly. like, oh, we know what this is.
And I have a really hard time. I've been trying to do these slower things and I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel like a workout to me.
But you'll get there.
Right.
You'll get there. I'm saying that as like a recovering rushing woman. No, but I think my life took a really, like, I joke that, like, God pulled the emergency brake on my life. Oh. Like, I got extremely sick and, like,
twice,
right? But the one time where it, like, really, really kind of slowed down, like, I was so sick to the point where it was, like, literally, like, exercise will kill you.
The doctor was like,
you will die. And, like, you need to stop. And so I had to rest. And I literally, like, slept so much. Yeah. The only exercise that I could do was, like, going for a short walk.
Right.
Like, it wasn't even, like, you can go walk a mile. It was, like, yeah, you can, like, walk to the end of your driveway and, like, sit there for a little bit. Like,
yeah. And to give context, like, Monica was a college athlete. Like, this is not, like, oh, she like suddenly started working out and her body was like, no, like no, right. Not at all.
I was, I was working a lot. I was doing a million and one things.
Trying to start a practice.
I was like, you know, like dating as much as possible, like in and out of good relationships, not good relationships, like all the things. And
doing
like,
CrossFit.
Doing CrossFit. And life was, I was just, you know, building. And then I got mono. I didn't know I had mono. So I just kept pushing until.
For like 4 months, she had mono and didn't.
I had no idea. I just thought, you know, this is what burnout is. This is what fatigue is. Like, this is what everyone is experiencing when they say, like, I'm constantly tired, you know, until I was in like acute liver failure. And so it was bad. And I think it was kind of this big wake-up call, and I actually ended up going to therapy myself to kind of, like, walk through, like, how did I miss that? Like, what, mm-hmm. like, how could I have missed my body sending so many signals of, like, hey, we're not okay.
Right.
And kind of how did I get myself into that situation? And so I think in the beginning, yeah, it is really very difficult to look at the way you've been running your life and to adjust and to mm-hmm. say, I can do this differently. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I have to sacrifice my goals, dreams, ambitions, but that I can approach this in a way that is healthiest.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think it's learning a lot about yourself. It's learning how to say no to things. I think mm-hmm. a lot of us women feel the need to just say yes to everything when it's asked and a friend's asking or our boss is asking. We feel like we need to say yes all the time. And sometimes it's taking a step back and saying, can I get back to you?
Right.
So that you can think about it and you can see, like, wait, is this really worthwhile? Like, is this good? Is this going to help? Can I do this? Can I put this on my plate?
Yeah.
Or am I like, no, I don't. I can't. I can't legitimately fit this on my plate right now and take care of my health and my well-being.
Right.
Or whatever.
And so, I wonder if this might be different for the vocationally single ladies out there, but I think one of the traps that situationally single women can fall into, it's absolutely what I fell into, was that, like, I only have this time because I'm not going to have these opportunities or these experiences when I'm married and when I have kids. Mm-hmm. So there's this pressure to hustle and to have all of the experiences now and to date as much as possible now or to volunteer as much as possible now, to push your career forward as much as possible now, because you're not going to be able to do that. Like, sure. You're going to have to give all that up and sacrifice that. And so there can be this pressure mm-hmm. as a single person to go, 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 go. And I think we can kind of fall into, I absolutely fell into that ideology mm-hmm. without even realizing it until I kind of had a big wake-up call. And so, you know, I'm curious, like, I don't think vocationally single
no. women,
like, your whole life is dedicated to, you know, to serving, right? And whatever kind of your charism particularly is, right?
Yeah, but I don't think we have, at least I don't, and I don't know too many who do, who feel like, oh my gosh, like, I gotta do this professionally wise, because, like, soon I'm not gonna be able to. I mean, obviously, for those who are called, like, apostolic celibacy, like me, like, we live in the middle of the world, we have normal jobs, so, like, there is something to that, mm-hmm. right? Like, I am very much, like, aware, like, I need to build my business and that kind of a thing. But I wonder if a little bit those who are vocationally single have this, like, urgency for the kingdom. Kind of a thing, like, okay. Oh, like, if I want to make heaven crowded, I want to bring as many people to God as possible. So, like, should I be doing another Bible study? Should I be bringing more people? Should I be meeting more friends for coffee and that kind of a thing? And not in a, like, I don't know. I don't want to say that as, like, in a pushy way, as, like, you know what I mean?
Like, but as a, like, an outpouring of...
Yeah, like, as an outpouring of my vocation and my love for it, that I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I want to bring Christ to as many people as possible because I want them to be as happy as I am, or I want them to have what I have, like, a relationship with our Lord, whether that's, you know, through when they're married or whatever. And I think sometimes there's that where, like, we feel like we need to be doing a lot of things, like mm-hmm. creating a lot of programs, running a lot of camps, like, whatever, while also maintaining our jobs and our, you know.
So step one, and I want to be mindful of our time, and maybe this can become a two-part series or we can circle back to this later. This is a good thought exercise. But step one in healing one's nervous system, and I even think in just understanding ourselves, is awareness. So we have to know ourselves and know, like, am I a rushing woman? Where do I fall into the tendencies of being a rushing woman? What pressures or expectations am I giving into or am I ascribing to mm-hmm. that are contributing to this belief that I have to go, go, go? Where do these beliefs come into play?
So I think this is going to be a two-part series because we have a lot to say and there is so much content mm-hmm. that we want to provide all of you. So I think a good thought exercise before we pick up next week on this would be to write out and to consider, why am I rushing, right? So the first step in healing is knowing. And so kind of this thought exercise
exercise is going to be, what are the areas in which I'm rushing? How do I know that I am rushing? Mm. What are kind of the pressures or the beliefs that I'm believing or succumbing to that are telling me I need to go and I need to hustle? And I think knowing that is a great first step.
And I think too, like, you might be sitting here being like, I think I am, but I don't know, like, whatever. Like, I think you kind of, people know, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're this or not. If you find yourself often saying like, I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed, I have a lot on my plate, my to-do list is long, like, you're probably that. Or, you know, you're constantly stressed out by certain things, like, that's probably what it is. So, but I think it's true. Like, let's think about why you are. And we will circle back next week to talk about some ways to get around this and other things that even I've done too to kind of help battle that. So that's it. This week for Single Not Stalled, we hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find our community, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media at Single Not Stalled, or shoot us an email, singlenotstalled@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.